Hey, Ashley, we're doing the special this time. You ready?
Hell yeah, let's be topical for once.
1 hour later.
A lot of death for Power Rangers.
A lot of death for Power Rangers. Hi, I'm Redbug's new subwoofer, Sid.
And I'm the geniuses who accidentally made villain support group, Ashley.
This is Rangersplain, where Sid, enthusiastic lifelong Power Rangers fan, takes Ashley, reluctant new fan, through the world of Power Rangers and Power Rangers accessories. This month we're topical and on time for once. We're looking at the latest 30th anniversary special, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Once and Always. So we're getting into spoilers in case you haven't checked this out. Go check it out and cry beautifully before coming back and listening to our podcast. To those who have watched or just don't care about spoilers, well, we'll tell you what the special is about. After the death of Trini at the hands of Robo Rita Repulsa, the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers are left reeling and picking up the pieces. When Robo Rita traps and kidnaps Tommy, Jason, and Kimberly in her quest to conquer Earth, Billy and Zack step up to rally the remaining Mighty Morphin team to help save the planet. Meanwhile, Trini's teenage daughter, Min, learns what it takes to become a hero.
So, yeah, as you can tell, this story does actively involve death and also talks about grief a lot.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those, like, okay, how are you going to have to deal with the fact Twee died back in 2001? And
yeah, over 20 years ago at this point.
Yeah, so you're kind of dealing with the fact that a cast member had died about, you know, over 20 years ago. And you're doing this special. Please note that they filmed and everything before JDF's untimely death, too. So
yeah,
they weren't even predicting that. So, you know, how do you go about explaining Trini's character? And if you are going to embrace what happened, how are you going to do that without being, you know, utterly distasteful about it?
Right.
And having Trini die and then having, you know, while you have that external threat of Robo Rita, having the kind of the emotional and the internal conflict really being grappling with the grief of a death, that was great. And I thought a really good way to just not be, you know, awful.
Because I feel like there's so many different directions this could have gone. But, like, I feel like, yeah, they definitely did strike a good balance on how to talk about Twee without, like, being too, writing circles around to try to explain why she's not there.
Yeah, or, like, embrace it, but then, like, be it in such poor taste.
Right.
Which I've seen a lot of, like, really, well, we'll get into the edgelord stuff in a minute, but I've seen a lot of edgelord takes being about that.
Right.
And also, like, grief is a, you know, much more adult topic to talk about. It was kind of one of the things, Kurt, you and I touched about, how grief is so rare in Power Rangers to actually, like, grapple with. And, you know, for a series that has expanded for so long, I can count on my 10 fingers how when they have tackled with grief and with death.
Yeah. And, like, the thing about it, too, is that in the Power Rangers universe, death is so very rarely permanent.
Yeah.
So, like, it is, it does make, you know, obviously we haven't, like, had times where, like, characters clearly have not experienced grief because, like, you know, we see it in, like, RPM with Jem and Gemma.
Of the RPM people, too.
Yeah, like, RPM is, I think, so far kind of, like, been the gold standard of dealing with grief in Power Rangers.
Because, you know, you have the Trumans dealing with the fact Marcus died in battle.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, Dr. K and all of her whole deal and with losing Jem and Gemma.
And Summer's losing basically the one person in her life that took care of her.
Yeah. And then obviously, you know, everything that happened with Kendrix in Lost Galaxy. You see a little bit, you don't really see anybody would really have grief over Zordon, because, like, I feel like Andros, like, he clearly has grief about what he has to do.
Yeah, it's you meet Griffin in space and how it's tackled. It's mostly like the aftermath of grief with Andros. It's like he's already pretty much gone through, like, you don't see the immediate loss of his team and you don't see the immediate loss of Caron. You're dealing with the aftermath and the accumulation of what made Andros that person today, and it's kind of up to the other Rangers to open him up. There's also that, you know, whole episode Carlos in Charge.
Oh, God. Carlos in Charge is definitely an example of kind of bad taste.
And his brother, it's like, her brother's dead. What the fuck?
Yeah.
You have, yeah, it's kind of that. There's also, like, the grief and grief and death in Wild Force were very permanent things, but also Wild Force often got a gold star in trying.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, because sometimes the whole Brony Frenzoni killing off Cole's parents, like, angle would just go off into melodramatic territories.
And then, you know, also killing God got very melodramatic.
Yeah, which I love the melodrama of Wild Force. Don't get me wrong, but, like, yeah, like, actually broaching the topic of grief was kind of definitely a hit or miss situation.
And, you know, it didn't help that, you know, they also had to be a kid show on top of it, so some of those episodes were really kiddie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sure. We love Wild Force, but also Tonal Whiplash.
Exactly. It's Tonal Whiplash the series for Power Rangers, for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, talking about grief in this particular way of, like, it's not just the immediate grief or, like, the, you know, character grief being baked into a character because, you know, this, you know, their backstory or whatever like that. It's the fact that, like, we're still kind of seeing the after effects of everything that happened, because in the series, like, as it starts, like, Trini's been dead for a year.
Yeah, it's like you actually see Trini die in battle. And this whole thing was even, you know, it was Billy trying to get Zordon back. So this whole thing has just been one big grief bubble.
Yeah, and so, like, and it's also, like, not just grief, but also guilt. Like, and we'll get into that more with Billy later, but, like, it definitely, yeah, definitely felt like it was dealing with slightly more, like, not mature in the sense of, like, oh, this is going to be all somber and shit, but definitely is a little bit more mature in the sense of how it decided to broach the topic.
Yeah, it definitely felt more like PG-13-ish in its dealing of the topic instead of just, like, that's such a weird way of saying it, but that's the only way I can say it, because it's like, it's still got the trappings of the kids show, obviously, for people who are watching with their kids, but it is tackling with a much deeper story.
Right.
And it is for, you know, the people who grew up with on Power Rangers. This is whether you're, you know, an MMPR just casually watched as a kid or now, like, this is who its main audience is, adults. And because of that, it really did feel more adult, and, like, they're actually, you know, dealing with a topic in a much more serious manner than you would see otherwise in Power Rangers. Like, actually deep diving into it instead of, like, we can only dive a little bit into it because we don't want to, like, confuse children too much.
Right.
But also, it's like, it's not edgelordy, because that's a thing I see with adult Power Ranger fan stuff. Mm-hmm. And that is something I can actually kind of agree with the 2017 movie, is it's like, sometimes it gets into, like, I best describe it as when 90s comics decided to be grown up, and by grown up, they added more sex and violence, and I'm like, just because you have topics of sex and violence does not mean it's adult.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, I can definitely see that with the 2017 movie. I do think it did try to strike the balance of being, like, a teen movie.
Yeah, yeah.
So it wasn't, like, you know, deep, dark edgelord, but, you know, it definitely...
It wasn't like that some YouTube attempts, but as well as I can see the criticism, I might not necessarily agree with it, but I can see it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's not like the power / Rangers or whatever. I'm going to trash that one. I hated that one.
I you've told me about it, and I'm like, this sounds like horse shit.
Yeah, it's one of those, like, we're gonna add, like, sex and violence and have, you know, people be very out of character and, like, upset. And I'm like, you know, there's a balance of how to do this. Okay, let's take Last Jedi, for instance, mm-hmm. and Luke Skywalker. I know people didn't agree with Luke Skywalker's characterization, but I kind of did because, like, imagine you have, like, literally been built up to be Jesus, mm-hmm. and then you fucking fail at it.
Yeah.
That is going to send you into an existential spiral, and you are going to have to need to try to center and find yourself again.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not, you know, it's like, oh, Jason's a drug dealer or some shit.
Yeah.
Billy died high on cocaine because he was, you know, a tech executive. It's not that. It's not sort of that shit, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to point this out. It's like, this is how you kind of tackle something for adults but still make it for children in a way, is you just gotta be serious about the topics you broach.
Yeah. And, like, I think it does a good job of, like, and obviously, yeah, this is more, this particular special is more targeted towards the adults who watched MMPR.
Yeah.
But I feel like you could definitely show this to a kid and have discussions about death and kind of what that means.
Yeah.
And without it being too, like, you know, you're not going to have the, you know, the awkward version of the death talk where you're just like, oh, they're just taking a long nap. No, we got to talk about it.
Yeah.
We got to understand. So I feel like that's part of with this, the special does really well is finding that right balance between, like, again, how to approach an adult topic without having to talk down to your audience and understand, well, or also not being too, like, edgelordy about it.
Yeah.
But also, like, the special manages to find that right balance between appealing to the hardcore fans who obviously have been watching everything Power Rangers for 30 years, or I'm not a hardcore fan. I'm not saying I'm a hardcore fan.
But you're now hardcore into it, thanks to me. And George.
I've info-dumped about this shit too many times recently.
I'm going to also blame George, too.
Yeah.
George and me have been good influences / bad influences on your life being into Power Rangers.
Yeah. Well, anyway, yeah. So, but it's definitely appealing to people who've either been watching the series for 30 years, or if you're fucking like me and do a podcast and you got sincerely into it, who understand way too much about Power Rangers lore now, but also appealing to the people that, like, I probably haven't watched Power Rangers since Mighty Morphin when they were, like, 5.
Yeah. Like, I tried to reach out to some people I knew who loved Power Rangers, but, you know, Mighty Morphin, and that stuck with them forever. And I'm like, hey, be sure to check out this special. You'll like it. You know, it's of course, there were some hardcore fans who, I'm going to just say you guys have baby brain takes. Like, it's very obvious you're the type of fan who wants a set of keys jingled in front of you, and you want to, like, everything has to acknowledge your knowledge. And I'm just like, okay, that's fine, but, like, it's very clear to me you don't care about the pathos of these characters.
Right.
You just wanted a cool fight scene. And I'm like,
right.
I'm sorry, I'm mean. I shouldn't be sorry. I think people need to be more mean to you guys, honestly.
Yeah.
Because it's like, yeah, that's, if you like that, it's fine, but it's not, like, it's a really bad criticism towards something to, like, why didn't you have a super cool fight scene at the end where everyone showed up and beat up Rita? And I'm like, because that would have not fit the tone of the story.
Absolutely not.
But, no, it's one of those, like, one of the things I like about anniversary specials is when they catch up with people. And, you know, obviously if you wanted to go way in depth, you would have done a mini series, but, you know, you only had a certain amount of time.
Right.
So the glimpses I saw, I really enjoyed. I really enjoyed catching up with Billy and Zach and what they're doing. The small glimpses of Rocky made him more of a character than Rocky normally was.
Right.
Seeing Kat, we'll get into this later, but seeing Kat in that role reversal where she's the one who has to save Tommy, you know?
Right.
You know, and seeing her, like, being a very, like, dedicated mom and all that, like, and seeing, like, kind of trying to acknowledge Space Patrol Delta. I know this is, like, a weird thing, and I kind of get the criticisms, but it's like, at least they're doing it now that, you know, you're supposed to actually acknowledge that Space Patrol Delta fucking exists.
Right.
Instead of ignoring it.
Yeah.
It's like when Bruce Kalish and them were writing this, they're like, clearly there won't be a Power Rangers season that will be like during the time period.
It's like, meanwhile, we're 2 years out from like the SPD year. So like,
oops. And of course, nobody was like, we're not going to acknowledge any of this. And like, thanks.
Yeah, I think names. I think at this point we have to like officially like have SPD be its own separate universe.
Yes, but having kind of that beginning. Where you see, like, Adam and Aisha, and they're a part of, you know, Space Patrol Alpha, whether it's the designated quadrant of it, or this is just, you know, our first iteration of the Space Patrol.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with Delta being the latest one we see it, you know. It's like, okay, well, at least you're acknowledging this.
Right.
And, it was just nice to see and catch up with everybody and see what they're up to. And also, like, Trini had a family, so canonically, Trini may have fucked. I don't know. She also may have just gotten... She's like, I don't need a dude, and I just want a kid, so I'm going to adopt or get a sperm donor. She could have done that way, too. Yeah, I mean,
because they do say that it's just been Min and Trini for a long time.
Yeah.
Or it's always been just them, so, like, yeah, either, like, the dad died, the dad's a deadbeat, or Trini's just like, no, I just want a kid.
Yeah, I'm going to probably eliminate dad being deadbeat just because it is Power Rangers.
Right, okay.
That seems very out of character for Power Rangers to write, but dad being dead or Trini just deciding to be a mom in a non-traditional way, that all makes sense.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, it's one of those, like, you got to catch up, and that's a big thing for me, and I think a big thing for, like, the casual viewer who's not gonna necessarily know that there's been, like, 5 million seasons after Mighty Morphin.
I got asked by somebody last night at the time we're recording, is like, so is there a continuity to Power Rangers I don't know about? And I'm like,
Oh, that's a loaded question.
Yeah, exactly.
Short answer, yes.
Yeah, that's basically what I said. Short answer, yeah.
Long answer, do you have the time to listen to me whine? Anyway.
Yeah.
it's because it's like if you're getting, I know I got on a tangent, but when you're getting like people who haven't known the series for a while, you are going to have to deal with, with the continuity and blending that in a way to where it's going to be, you know, not overwhelming. And by just focusing on the Mighty Morphin crew and what they were doing, that was like a tremendous help, I think. It's like, just have them be the focus characters, have familiar settings, talk about some things that have gone on, but it's, you know, it's either delivered through a screenshot of the Bandora protocol or like, you know, here are a bunch of like Ranger, obviously not Lightning figure collection, you know, powering this device, cough, you know, that sort of thing, or like, you know, Space Patrol Alpha, but and have that delivered through Aisha and Adam.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, obviously there's some sort of, you know, empire that's trying to take over the Milky Way, and Aisha and Adam are part of the crew to help against that. Okay, you know, you don't have to go. And this is where Space Patrol Delta came in, and there's Doggy Kruger.
Yeah. you don't need that shit.
You don't need to explain to people about the race of dog people.
All right. Well, I think we've talked our ears off about this topic enough. So let's go to our characters, which our first one we're going to start with is Zach Taylor, a.k.a. Mighty Morphin Black.
Yeah, he was Billy and him are the focus characters of this.
Yeah.
Which I definitely really liked because it's like they're part of the original crew. And I'll get to this probably in odds and ends. And, you know, they haven't been focused on for a while. Whether it's, you know, schedules not meeting up or Yeah, David Yost had every reason to be angry and not, like, want to talk to you guys about shit.
Yeah. So, like, because, yeah, I think, like, they are, I mean, because we've had a bunch of the people who are in this have shown up again in other Earth specials. Like, obviously, like, Steve Cardenas and Catherine Sutherland were in Dimensions in Danger, even though that special is dog shit. You know, and then Johnny Young Bosch showed up in, what was that?
Once a Ranger.
I'm like, they didn't also do Once a Ranger with that one, did it? Yes, they did.
Yeah. This is Once and Always. That one is Once a Ranger.
Yeah. So, like, he showed up in Once a Ranger and that one In Space episode, obviously. But
Jason David Frank.
Yeah.
He used to be down for this sort of thing. And then we also had Austin St. John and Beast Morphers. He was just there.
Yeah. So, like, and, you know, at this point, the person who hasn't really come back for, you know, many reasons is Amy Jo Johnson. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like just the way she put it on Twitter about, like, you know, she doesn't really share the reason why she didn't really want to come back. But, you know, she just said that she was not down with what they offered.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I get it. Like, it's not just, you know, the money or whatever. It's literally having to uproot your entire life to go to New Zealand for several months to, like, film.
Yeah, you know, it's like, you have to make that worthwhile, especially, like, she's dealing with her directing career and stuff right now, so.
Yeah. But, yeah, Walter and David hadn't really come back for, you know, various reasons. So it was nice to actually get a check-in with them.
Yeah.
And then Zach, as you noted here, is the dad who stepped up.
Yeah, everyone, I love that joke always. It's like, I'm not the stepfather, I'm the father who stepped up.
Yeah.
But in this case, even though it very much feels like everyone was involved in Ming's life, mm-hmm. Zach was the one who stepped up towards kind of the end of her teenhood. Like, because I think, like, it feels like when Trini died, she was probably like a junior, so 16, 17. Now she's like 17 to 18 years old, and you still need a parental guardian in your life to help out.
Right.
And Zach, we'll touch on this. This goes into the next point, is he uprooted his career as a congressman to go raise Ming. Ming needed someone in her life.
Yeah, and she talks about that too. Ming is all, I think she, like, somewhat feels guilty, like,
yeah,
that, like, Zach gave up that career to raise her, but, like, for him it was like there's no option, like, there's no other choice.
Yeah, it's like, you know, Tommy and Kat have JJ right now, and probably, like, live in not Ming, like, where Ming goes to school.
Yeah.
We don't know what's really going on with Kimberly, but probably, you know, either way, it's like she would have to uphold up her life, and Zach's like, you shouldn't have to do that at this age.
Yeah, exactly. And then, as we mentioned, like, this is actually something that comes up in the comics, because in Go-Go Power Rangers, like, there's that one special where they talk about what they did on spring break.
Yeah.
And Zach actually went and served as, like, a congressional, well, I don't know if his intern was the right word, but he did, like, do, like, an internship for a week on a congressional staff.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you see in, like, that entire, like, bit of that back to school special was him talking about what he did. Or was it summer break? Well, in either case, it specifically went back to the fact that he went and did something that was involved in politics.
Yeah.
And that also kind of ties into the whole peace conference thing. Even though the peace conference in the comics is not really a thing, as we find out later. That, like, I do like the fact that, like, this is Zach becoming a politician is something that is consistent in both of those, like, situations.
Yeah. Like, it's just something that everyone just kind of seems to have agreed on. And I know Walter and David had inputs on the script, and it just seems like people just kind of agree Zach would have gone into politics.
Yeah. So, and I bet he would be a pretty good politician on top of that. In a good way. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I kind of had this in the back of my head, and I know this is not going to be a thing that people agree with. And even me, I'm just sort of like, is this sort of a, is this sort of a backwards reference? Is this something I'm meant to have in mind? So MMPR Pink.
Yep.
So again, I know this particular comic is a bit of a fraught topic for some people, but it did come up again in, like, with Melissa Flores writing MMPR right now. And I mean the comic, not the show. But writing the MMPR comic is that in MMPR Pink, Zach and Trini were in a relationship. And then it's coming up again in the comic. So I'm just, in the back of my head, I was sitting there wondering, like, so is, does Zach's, like, particular, like, fondness towards Trini and Min, like, the one, him being the one who, like, stepped up, does that maybe have some origins based in that? Again, this could work either way with that regard. Like, it could be, I think Zach would have done it whether he was dating Trini or not.
Yeah.
So, or whether that was a past thing of not. Like, I'll be totally honest about that, but it was definitely, like, that particular reasoning of Zach being the one to step up and kind of be her legal guardian did kind of put that in the forefront of my mind. I'm just putting it out there. I'm not saying anybody has to agree or think about,
I don't, like, agree with her because I was like, oh, okay.
I'm not even saying that they necessarily were in a relationship when, like, that happened. I'm just saying that, like, I'm just wondering if maybe that was part of the origin there. That's all.
That's all. Yeah. And one of the things also, it's like Zach, when Zach was in the original team, he was often the second in command.
Right.
And one of the interesting things I found about this is he's actually very much in command of the situation. He's the leader. It's like Billy's still the brains and kind of the one doing everything, but, like, Zach's the one still execute, like, he's executing. He's stepped up in that regard. You know, not only as a politician, but, you know, there he is being still a big leader of the group.
Oh, yeah.
And he's also the one who, like, you know, not only because of that fatherly figure towards Mint, he was the one that was basically like, hey, you can't just go seeking revenge.
Yeah, like, he's giving her the big Zordon talk throughout this episode.
He's kind of turned into Zordon himself in a lot of ways.
Okay.
Towards younger people.
So I guess it will count him as the mentor for this episode. Where does he fall on the McDonald's scale?
Ooh. He's a dad. I want to say he's We Have Food at Home.
Yeah, but I feel like you could easily kind of convince him on the right day.
Yeah, you could convince him on, he's kind of in that We Have Food at Home and on the right day. Yeah, I don't feel like cooking.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, let's get some McDonald's. Young Zach, I think, would be in the McDonald's camp.
Yeah.
Firmly. Older Zach, it depends on the day.
Yeah.
But he's not one to just drive off with a order of black coffee and leave.
Oh, absolutely not. I feel like maybe he might have done that, like, in his political career just to be an asshole.
He did that with one of his opponents.
Yeah.
I can see that. It's like, oh, let's go have McDonald's because we're having disagreements. Hi, McDonald's, can I have one large black coffee?
Yeah, and yeah, this is all. This next point is something that we both agree on. Walter has just gotten hotter with age.
It really has. Like, what the fuck? Yeah, it's just one of those. It's like some people, you know, they were hot when they were younger, and then they just will get hotter when they get older. And Walter is one of those people.
Oh, for sure.
And we've seen him in person, so it's like, yeah, he's just a really good looking dude.
Yeah, very handsome, very charismatic. Like, you kind of can't help but love him.
Yeah, I'm like, what the? It's like, thank you for not aging like butt. So Austin St. John aged like butt.
Oh, yeah. Like, we saw that hairpiece.
We saw that really bad hairpiece. We've seen him in person, I think. We didn't go up to his table, but it's just like, damn. You look worse for wear there, buddy. But yeah, he's really has gotten hotter with age and everything. And our final point with Zach, and I think it's just because, you know, he's with Billy, the two veteran Rangers, is we're just like, why does he have gay married vibes with Billy? To quote our notes, for no reason.
Yeah. Like, just especially that fucking scene, like, after the opening fight scene where after Trini dies. And they're in Trini and Min's house having the argument about telling Min.
Yeah. Or like there's or the end scene where it's just like, oh, I'm going to go get smoothies. You gotta talk with the dad you upset.
Yeah, it's like, it definitely just feels like a teenage daughter that's out with her two gay dads.
And one of the gay dads and her had an argument.
Yeah. Yeah, so there was definitely that vibe. I think it just added a layer of just a charm for me.
Yeah, same. It's like, there's a little bit of a vibe here. Something I've been discussing with, like, friends and stuff of just how, even if you don't think, even if it's not a romantic polycule, like, Rangers just form some sort of polycule of some sort. Because it's just like, they are a family. So here's two members of the family taking care of another member of family. But it really does come off. Yeah,
which is why I was going back to the whole, like, I think whether Zach had previously dated Trini in this universe, was currently dating her, or they just decided that was a thing that they did for like 6 months and then it was like too weird.
Yeah.
I think Zach would have stepped up in any case because Trini was his family and like you don't leave your family behind like that.
Yeah. And I think Zach honestly was, that was another discussion, is Zach's kind of the big like glue. He and Kimberly are a lot of the social glue of that group.
For sure.
And it's like they go out and they take care of everyone in their own ways, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's like it makes so much sense. Zach was like, yeah, I need to take care of this. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Billy and Zach were kind of gave off the older men who are single for no reason. So that probably did help with that vibe.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Because like, it's like, yeah, because it's like Zach's just like, I don't have time to date. I'm like raising this teenager, but like he still hangs out with Billy all the time anyway.
Yeah, it's like, this is very Victorian. He died a bachelor.
Yeah, and Zach's doing this, well, quote unquote, by himself. Billy is there, but it's like it's like, okay, so you were living, so you were a congressman, but you never got married to somebody.
Too busy doing Congress shit.
Congress shit and occasionally having to still be a Power Ranger. So, yeah, I...
we're getting a bit into Billy here, so why don't we talk about Billy Cranston?
Yeah. I'll let you say this. This was your note.
I am genius destroyer of worlds. He's like our third one.
Yeah. So, because I realized this the day after we watched the special. It's just like, wait a second. They did the plot point again where the genius character, while trying to do something else, accidentally creates the villain that like ends up driving the entire plot.
Yeah.
So it happened with Dr. K with Vengix, which, you know, destroyed the entire fucking world because she wanted to go outside and her own survivor guilt with that.
Yeah.
And then you had Nate who accidentally combined snake DNA with Vengix.
He was just a kid playing in a lab and he's just like, I'm going to do this. And then later finds out, oops.
I accidentally created Evox and now it's Vengix is going to try to take over this entire dimension.
Yeah.
And now it's weird to say this literally led to the death of the Ranger, but this is somehow the least worst of the occasions this has happened in Power Rangers.
Yeah, I mean, one of them was the destruction of the world, so.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people died, so.
It's funny to me that this has been a plot point in Power Rangers like three times now.
They're starting to like this plot point, it looks like.
So, yeah, if it happens again, I'm just going to be like, whomst in the writer's room?
Loves this. Who is this? This is like Chiplin and Dads.
Yeah, who, like, yeah, who in the writer's room has just decided, you know what the problem is? Science.
Science going to. I am Ian Malcolm, hot sexy mathematician, here to tell you that, you know, you're focusing so much on if you could do it, you never focus on should you do it.
Oh god, I just Bad boy mathematician's not a thing, Michael Crichton.
Rockstar hot bad boy mathematician. Jurassic Park. Played by Jeff Goldblum, noted for being such a bad boy. To be
anyway,
fair,
he
is sexy in his own way, so.
Right. But anyway, so, yeah, for Billy, he's dealing with a lot in this special, because obviously we know going back to MMPR, and also just, I think, you know, David Yost, like, Twee was actually his, like, one of his best friends. Like,
yeah.
So I definitely feel like he's pulling, like, he is acting, obviously, but I think he's doing the method in the fact that he is, like, having to actually pull from his own life of losing his best friend.
Yeah.
Like that. So Billy, in this is special, he's dealing with a lot of survivor grief and survivor guilt over his best friend essentially sacrificing her life to save his.
Yeah, and you can tell it's, like, it's really gotten, because he's become obsessed with trying to solve the problem, to the point he doesn't even go back to, he still lives on Aquitar, and we found out, and when, basically, you know, when he found out he could, you know, do this whole thing, he's like, well, I'm gonna be here for a bit, and then, you know, the whole thing happened, and now he's so obsessed with it. You know, he's also, like, a big part of Ming's life, it looks like. And he would have been regardless. I kind of said that when he moved back on Earth and probably learned about Ming, he was probably instantly in her life.
Oh, yeah.
But there's definitely that whole thing of, like, I need to do right by this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she even blows up in his face. It's like, you're the reason Mom died.
Doesn't he basically tell her at the end of the episode, it's nothing that I haven't said to myself before?
Yeah. Yeah, he did. It's like, because she's like, oh God, I'm so sorry, because I know you and Mom are, like, super close. And he's like, it's nothing I haven't told myself before. And you can even see in, like, David's performance of Billy when, you know, she yells at, not really yells, but, you know, says it in, like, a heated passion, that, like, it just hits him like a shit ton of bricks.
Yeah. And then, but yeah, basically the origin of this entire thing is that, so Billy is trying to revive Zordon.
Yeah, so in a very interesting matter is neither created nor destroyed, as we found out through the Z-Wave, is that Zordon's energy is still Zordon, and when it purified things, his energy went throughout the cosmos. He is not dead. Dear God, I think this was a thing at Picard with Data in the first season. But this was done better. What the fuck? Sorry, it had to do with, like, positronic brains. I'm like, wow, Power Rangers did this plot point better than a fucking Star Trek show. Anyway, sorry.
It's fine.
Yeah, basically it was just trying to, or, you know, he went back, Cranston Industries and all that, and he's trying to essentially get those Zordon bits. But what purified also carried all the evil bits from everyone else. So all the evil bits of Frida, well, it's still out there, and she managed to get through and infect Alpha 8.
Yeah, and that's how we got Robo-Rita, even though at this point we definitely have the Mystic Mother.
it was just basically all of the concentrated of her evil. And, so he fucks it up, the other Rangers come, and Trini dies.
Yeah, so I can definitely understand the insane amount of survivor's guilt that is happening with Billy here.
Yeah, it's like your grief of trying to get Zordon back, which, you know, anyone would, if you were to tell me there was a way to bring a loved one back, you know, we're all human and weak, we would do it.
Right.
In a heartbeat. It's a classic thing in story and sci-fi and all that. So it's a very, you know, he's just trying to deal with his own grief with Zordon and getting him back. And then he fucks it up and gets more grief because he gets his best friend killed.
Right. As we kind of noted with this, Billy is kind of a tech industry mogul at this point.
Yeah, he just came back to Earth, and Cranston Industries seems like it's a big to do thing. You know, he's an actual Tony Stark. He's not an Elon Musket.
Yeah. I just wonder if there are would be ties to Promethea in that case.
Yeah, that'd be something interesting along the line there.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like, I feel like bringing up Promethea would have probably ended up going too deep into the weeds.
Oh, probably. And I know there's people out there, it's like, stop tying the Boom comics into things. And like, we're past that point since Beast Morphers. Okay, guys, we're past that.
Yeah, like, Beast Morphers directly ties into Shattered Grid, guys. Like, please shut the fuck up.
Dino Fury has just went deep long into it, so shut up.
Yeah.
No. That's something that might get played with later, I think. But I think it would have gotten way too deep in the weeds for, you know, people who are just tuning in for, you know, oh, I haven't seen Mighty Morphin since I was a kid.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, we don't need to be fucking explaining Grace Randolph in this special. I do have to wonder, is like, is there ties to Promethea here? Are they like, are they a subsidiary? Are they competition? Did Billy buy up Promethea? Who knows?
Did Billy just succeed in Promethea and just change the name? Like, who knows?
Yeah.
I will say kind of the big thing, because we did talk, he doesn't get his grief resolved. I think I do like that about the end. But he does end up correcting things in a way that he can rest better at night. It's like one of those things, it's like, you can at least put to bed that Roborita isn't fucking shit up anymore.
Yeah, Roborita is gone. There's still hope that, like, whatever he was trying with Zordon, like, that he can, that, you know, Zordon is still out there.
And
how I feel about Zordon coming back is potentially, but that's something else.
We'll get there when we get there, if we ever do.
Yeah, but he can kind of rest knowing that him and Min have mended that fence. She's going to have memories, like, thanks to the Morphin Grid, she's going to have memories of when her mom was a ranger.
Yeah, like, may your memory be a blessing.
Exactly.
Trini lives on through Min, and Trini's memories live on through everyone, and including the Morphin Grid. It was kind of very beautiful. I think that the last was scene was, you know, Zach, Billy, and Min were all bonding with Min over, like, oh, you didn't hear about this when she was in high school? Let me talk to you about that. And, like, bonding and sharing, like, this is who we know your mother as, and this is why we loved her.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that was just very nice. And because it's implied that Min didn't know that her mom was a Power Ranger until after she died.
Yeah.
So there's just an entire part of her mother's life that she never knew about.
Yeah. Where it's like, oh, you knew these were her friends from high school and that you're all very close, but you didn't know, like, all the bonds of that. So,
right.
It was very, very, like, touching. A great way to end that episode, too. So
honestly, yeah.
So, yeah. Billy does get pathos, and so does Zach. It's just, it's a very kind of beautiful way of exploring it, which is, like, the grief's still there, but it's, what is it you once said about the grief button in a box and a bouncy ball?
And I was feeling this week because when we're recording this on the 22nd, it'll be out on the 1st of May, as it always is.
Mm-hmm.
I was feeling this earlier this week because the 19th was the 12th anniversary of when my great grandmother passed away.
Yeah.
And so somebody had posted this, I think on Tumblr or Twitter or something like that. I can't remember when, but they described grief as like a ball in, there's a grief is like a room where there's a button that whenever it's hit, that's when you get hit with that pang and wave of grief. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and when something first happens, like the ball is basically like big, feels like it's bigger than the room, but it's like constrained in there. So it's like always bumping up against the button. But as like time goes on, the ball shrinks and like it'll bounce around the room. And sometimes it hits the button, and that's, you know, and it can be 12, 15, 20 years on, and, you know, you'll still get hit with that wave. It doesn't hurt as much as it used to, but you still feel it.
Yeah, like,
but it is definitely one of those things that, like, time kind of will, like, help heal that in a way.
Yeah, it's basically like the ball finally shrunk.
Yeah.
And, you know, they can, you know, I feel like you never really can move away from grief, but, mm-hmm. you know, you will and you'll get hit with it. But it's like one of those, it's like you, there's a fondness now when you get hit with grief. Like every time it's around this time of year, this is around when Coda got diagnosed with chronic kidney disease. And I've noticed that the beginning of January here in September is when I am most hit by this. But it's now it's like this fondness of like, damn, I had a very good cat.
You did. He was a great cat.
He was a great cat. Or, you know, now that I'm talking with my dad more, I'm thinking of memories more of like the cool memories of his mom and the time we had together. And it's like it's a fondness instead of like just overwhelming sadness that you get when it first hits.
Right.
So.
And to leave on a lighter note with Billy, as you noted, he's still married to the fish.
Because you're like, I think you forgot about that Zio episode.
Yeah, because I was just like, oh, so he's just been like around the galaxy. Yeah, I forgot the fact that he technically got married to Sestria at the end of Zio, even though like, it's all bullshit. But like,
I married a fish.
I had memory hold that for good reason.
Yeah, that episode fucking sucks. And that's why one of the episodes made me like, I want to stop watching this show.
Yeah, so like, because I guess it's implied that he's still married to Sestria, or at least has some relationship with Sestria, because like, at the end of the episode, like, Adam asks, like, when he's coming back to Aquitar, because Sestria misses him.
Yeah.
And he said he'll be back soon. So it's implied that he's still married to her, but I'm like, I'm just going to assume that there's like an open relationship thing going there.
I mean, we don't know how the Equations feel about monogamy.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or anything. So, you know, that's an open thing. She's just like, have many. They might be, you know, polyamorous or open or whatever. We don't know.
I'm just saying that the gay married vibes to like Zach are too strong.
They are too strong. I'm like, I didn't know I shipped this. I now ship this. In a very we met back up older way, you know, not from the very beginning way.
Yeah. So
that sometimes happens. People will just meet up again in life and then bam, relationships happen.
Pretty much, yeah.
I'm not saying that happened to me. Yeah, I did meet Kurt back in, like, 2008 at a JoJo meetup.
Yeah, I was about to say, it did happen to Sid. That's exactly what happened to Sid.
So, we talked about our two of the main characters that are original OG Rangers, you know. So, why don't we talk about our new character, Ming Quan.
Yep, Trini's teenage daughter. Basically, for most of the special, as you noted, she is Inigo Montoya.
Yeah, she's gonna go up to Rita and just say, I'm Ming Quan, you killed my mother, prepare to die.
Yeah, like, that is what she is, the vibe is for most of the episode.
Yeah.
So she, as we noted, she's a teenager on the cusp of adulthood. Like, I think it's definitely implied that she's an older teenager, so she's probably about 16, 17.
Yeah, it's like, at the most, senior in high school, about to turn 18.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's dealing with a lot of anger towards her mom's death, and basically she wants to specifically, she's training to be a ranger, because I think she just assumes that, oh, I'm going to automatically get access to the Sabretooth Tiger Coin, because I'm training to be a ranger, and I'm Trini's daughter,
yeah.
And I need to train and have this power in order to get my revenge on Rita for my mother's death.
It doesn't work like it does in Time Force, honey.
Yeah, no. Like, it's like she tries to morph like two or three times before she actually like gets the powers.
Yeah, it's like Ninjar didn't believe in that DNA shit.
Yeah.
It's like you had to be worthy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is most of, like, her entire arc, you know, is she had to learn to be selfless and not burn so much in revenge. Like, it's something that, you know, even, like, Zach told her, it's like, you know, you can't just do things because you want them to. Part of being here and part of justice is to be selfless.
Right.
You know, I don't regret giving up my career in Congress because it, you know, you needed help. You know, that was his example of selflessness, you know. And
exactly.
Like, talking about, you know, how all the LA Rangers are. It's like, we, you know, you know, I don't think they, it's kind of implied, I feel, also through how Billy and Zach kind of act sometimes. Is like, do you really want this life?
Exactly.
Because it's taken over ours, right into the point where we're like, we are 40 and 50 years old, and we do not need this.
Yeah, because, like, you know, at the end of every Power Rangers series, up until a certain point, would imply that they lose their powers. But then, like, the concept of once a ranger, always a ranger, like, really kicked in. Because, like, obviously you'd have those crossover episodes where the previous season's rangers would come in. And, like, would have their, mysteriously have their powers again.
Yeah.
So, just, like, it's definitely an implication now that even though, like, the Mighty Morphin team are not the only team of Rangers out there, they do occasionally still have to step up and, like, save Angel Grove or, like, help save the world. Which sounds exhausting, frankly.
It's like, you gotta do this for the rest of your fucking life.
Right.
And you signed up to this as a teenager. Except this sounds more badass than a student loan.
Yeah, like,
sorry to dig there.
You know, I think I'd rather take, like, having having superpowers and occasionally having to help save the world. Oh, and a giant robot. You get a giant robot out of
it. Yeah, get a giant robot out of it.
Over having student loans, yeah.
Yes. The cooler version of student loans is a metaphor in this essay. I will anyway.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's, you know, that's kind of, I feel like that was a vibe sometimes with that. It's like, do you really want this? But also, you have to know, like, you can't just seek vengeance with those powers. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, only one ranger used his powers for his own gain, and then he had to become good again.
Yeah,
that was Eric.
Yeah,
my trash lord, my trash boy.
Yeah, your son, your baby boy.
My baby trashlet boy. But yeah, you know, he was kind of a, you know, as depicted by most of that season, he was an asshole and nobody liked him. So you know, it's, and because, you know, she is full of anger and everything, she definitely has attitude.
Yeah, like, this definitely takes the level of teenagers with the attitude to a new place.
Yeah, it's, she, it was one of those, it's like, finally, like, a teenager that, you know, she tries her best, she is, you know, she looks like she's a good student, she's very focused and disciplined, but, you know, she's still a teenager, so occasionally she's gonna blurt out shit like, you're the reason my mom died, or, right, why can't I help you guys, I'm an adult too. You know, it's like, yeah, glad we're seeing that even, you know, your most nice teenagers will still be teenagers.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Let me go take my mom's morpher and try to morph at the juice bar, you know?
Yeah. That'll go well.
Let me run over a putty and say gay rights. Yeah, that's basically her arc, is she has to learn to not just seek revenge, but to help people as well. And I think, what was it? She basically pushed Billy away and got hit.
Yeah, basically, she has to basically, how she earns the powers is that she basically kind of does the same action that her mom did, of, like, she, like, Robo Rita's about to, like, murk Billy, and she shoves him out of the way and takes the blast.
But it hits the morpher.
Yeah.
Which I think not only saves her life physically from it, but also, like, the morphing grid's like, you're ready for this. Let me flood your mind with your mom's memories for nicety. And she ends up being able to morph now.
Yeah, because she, selfless sacrifice, that the morphing grid's like, okay.
Okay, you get it. You just don't want revenge now. You actually get that part of this is saving people's lives.
100%.
Yeah.
So, I just like the touch of, like, the morphing grid. Like, it definitely is a little bit of morphing grid did it syndrome.
Yeah.
But I also kind of just love that about Power Rangers.
Why does this happen in Power Rangers? I don't know, the Morphin Grid.
Yeah. That's that episode of The Simpsons where it's like, if you see something and you wonder what's happening, you could just say a wizard did it.
Yeah, pretty much our wizard is the Morphin Grid. And as we kind of noted earlier, I guess on a final point here is dad unknown. We don't know anything of how she had a father. I like to think he's dead, but I'm a dark asshole like that, so.
Yeah, I mean, because there's nothing implied about, like, dad's around, like, there's nothing implied about divorce or anything like that, so it's like he's either dead or she just is just like, I'm having a baby on my own, peace.
Yeah, peace. Just, I'm gonna go to the sperm donor and the sperm bank and just grab a donor. I think that really touches a lot on Ming. Unless you have anything else?
No, that's about it.
Yeah, so we'll move on to Rocky DeSantos real quick. He's a firefighter now. That's like a thing. He just, when he shows up to the grid, he is, you know, he has his noodles in hand and he looks like he was at the fire department.
Yep, and as you noted, always with meals and morphing.
Yeah, somebody pointed this out as like, somehow, like, Rocky gets his meals interrupted in some way in Power Rangers when he has food. I'm taking my tamales and getting out of here. And then here he's just like, oh man, I was in my middle of my noodles. What's going on here? And then of course Alpha 9 throws it away. Like, oh, womp womp. And I just remember somebody else pointing out, I was like, what was he eating in Dimensions and Dangers before he got like captured? And have this nice bowl of ramen. God damn it. But other than that, he's still Rocky.
Yeah, like, Rocky doesn't do too much in this special. Like, no offense to Steve Cardenas, but, like, it definitely feels the vibe of, like, well, we can't really get Austin. Austin would have probably been fine with coming back, but also he committed wire fraud and can't leave the country, so.
Yeah. Why was it? It's like Amy, Joe, and Jason, David, Frank turned down this because it's like, okay, like, we don't want to do this. John was forced to turn down this role by the United States government because he was being indicted for wire fraud and was considered a flight risk.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's nice to see, like, Rocky in that case, but it was also just like, yeah, I don't feel, they didn't really give him too much to do here besides,
Because he's Rocky.
Because he's Rocky.
At least Rocky's not being a weird brony friendzoni or anything, you know, he's just being, like, he just seems like a dumb himbo, so that's an upgrade. This Rocky's an upgrade because he's no longer whining on why nobody dates him. He's just a dumb himbo who's a firefighter and loves noodles.
So we'll kind of just move on to Kat again, Catherine Hillard, or as we couldn't figure out, is it Oliver Knee Hillard? Like Hillard Oliver? Like,
yay, what's going on here? But yeah, she's yeah, it's continued to canon. She is, you know, married to Tommy and they have JJ. And I think like JJ was just dropped off at a camp or something, like a karate camp or something. And, you know, and she's like, I want to make sure that when JJ gets back, you know, Tommy's back too, basically. So yeah. Her biggest motivation is saving her husband, Tommy. And as I kind of noted and what we thought about, too, is, like, this is often the reversal of what Tommy would often be doing. Just saving Catherine.
Yeah, because, like, especially in, like, Zio and Turbo, like, Kat was often just, like, the damsel in distress, which is so annoying compared to fucking, like, Kim and Tom, Kimberly and Tommy. Well, also, I was like, I can't call him Tom. That's weird.
but also, you know, Kat, when she started out, like, she was, you know, she was brainwashed by Rita. She broke it herself to, like, save Kimberly and from, because it's like, you know, Kimberly was getting overworked and she was basically there to make sure at least an ambulance was there for Kimberly. Like, Kimberly still fell.
Right.
And also helped Kimberly get her groove back, because it's like, Kim was like, I don't know if I want to continue for the pan global games.
Yeah.
Because the Olympics are trademark. And, you know, Kat had, like, talked about, you know, I was going to be a pan global diver and I had an injury, and, you know, showed her, like, hey, I'm not afraid of diving boards anymore. So, like, Kat came from this great place, and then they're less like, damsel in distress for Tommy.
Yeah.
So now Tommy's the damsel in distress. So she's like, hey, I'm going to be very proactive here, because I really don't want JJ to be like, where's dad? What happened to him?
Yeah, exactly. Because she's just, like, she actively says, I don't want to tell JJ what's happening, because I trust that, like, I'm like, Tommy's going to come home.
Yeah. And like, she helps with the plan making. Our favorite was, we made the fucking magnets, how they work joke, where she's right. She's like, oh, they're robots. What if we use giant magnets? And this
and
is
you
how
made the joke about her being forklift certified.
Yes, she is machine certified on a lot of things, it looks like. So she probably is forklift certified. Oh my goodness. Why is Kat the best pink ranger? Well, she is forklift certified.
Yeah, so, you know, supermom vibes, as we already said. So, because she was, like, at a karate tournament for JJ when she got the call, so she had to go run to the bathroom.
Yeah, it's like, I had to go run to the bathroom, doing something for JJ here and everything, so. And also, she made the call back to too much pink energy.
I can't believe, out of all the things, that they make a callback to too much pink energy.
She makes pink energy. You can overload the morphing grid. She's like, fuck that.
Yeah, it's like, we got shit to do today. Like, we can't listen to this dead asshole Zordon.
Turns out it didn't affect anything, so.
Yeah.
So.
But interestingly, it's the first time that, like, because everyone's like, oh, why does Kat have the pterodactyl coin? Because, like, she didn't actually have, like, because what if she had the crane coin?
The crane, or, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, because she, yeah, because when they had the weird ninja powers or whatever.
Yeah, to get ninjor.
Yeah, but she never actually had the pterodactyl power coin. And everyone's like, oh my god, why does she have the pterodactyl power coin? It's like, because Kim is, like, otherwise occupied right now, guys. Like,
yeah, it seems like when the Mighty Morphin team is called, it seems like it's more of like, what powers can we give you that you used to have?
Yeah, like that like mentioning MMPR Pink, like basically she's like, Kim has her own ranger team based on residual energy that like Zordon is able to give her.
That's what happens when you have too much pink energy. So exactly, that's why Billy and Alpha 9 could make those power coins.
Exactly.
I would just like to say, this is kind of, I'm glad Kat got to do something.
Yeah, Kat's really proactive in this. It's great.
Yeah, it's like, oh, yeah, there's Kat. I mean, you still had to saddle her with a marriage with Tommy.
Yeah, but, like, at least, again, as we noted, she is not the damsel in distress this time. She is the one who's, like, getting shit done. It reminds me a little bit of, like, Soul the Dragon, where she shows up with the fucking gun at the end.
Yeah, she's just like, nope, taking charge here. My husband's being stupid again.
It's like, it's not the first time. It will not be the last time.
What is it? I made the joke that there's a divergence with Dino Thunder, where there's one where Tommy does get his shit together, but the one we probably saw is the gay depressed Tommy that never remarried her, that never got married to her.
Yeah, I just have to assume, like, again, if they're going to split off FSPD into its own universe, I don't know if they're going to do that, but if they do, like, that involves a whole thing with Dino Thunder, so you know what? Yeah, let's just say that's what happened.
Yeah, that's the one where Tommy's just gay and depressed and divorced forever. Or there's like another one where it's just like, oh yeah, no, we got back together and it's great. But yeah, let's go on to support characters here.
So our first one is going to be Alpha 9. He's one of our many alphas, as we've established in Power Rangers, is that there's kind of a line of succession of alphas.
Yeah, they got up to 9, because when we last, I think Alpha 7 might have, no, not, was Alpha 7 in, like, one of the specials prior, or was that Alpha 6?
think so. I mean, I know we had Alpha 6 in, like, in space.
And they finally replaced Alpha 6 really bad boys.
Yeah.
Because Alpha 6 shows up. But then it's like, there's another Alpha that shows up in... There's an Alpha that shows up in Forever Red and in Once a Ranger, so...
Yeah, so, like, I'm trying to just figure out if Alpha... Let's see, I'm pulling up...
We forgot to do this.
It's... Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm pulling up the Ranger Wiki real quick. It does appear that Alpha 7 is the one that appears in Forever Red.
Okay, so that's been kind of the one that's been around for a while.
Yeah, and I don't know which Alpha they bring back in. I think it's they might have brought back Alpha 5 or Alpha 6 in Once a Ranger. But yeah, Alpha 7's the one in Forever Red. So that is continuity-wise, that's right. As we find out with what happened with Alpha 8, Alpha 8 got... absorbed by the bad energy of Rita Repulsa.
Yeah, and kind of transformed into Robo Rita. So now we're on 9.
Yep, and then, we're on 9 now. And he's not that different from kind of the other alphas we've encountered, and including, like, Alpha 55 in that.
Yeah.
Which, I just bring up Alpha 55 because, oh my god, bring it back Hyperforce in the comics!
Yeah!
Finally! Oh, Jesus. But... But yeah, so like he's not really that different from the other alphas. I did love the line of just such a 2023 line. It was perfect. Of I think it was like Zach had asked Alpha to leave the room because he wanted to have a conversation with Min.
Yeah.
And he's like, and he said, I forget exactly how he phrased it, but he did eventually just say, my sensors are picking up a vibe, and walked out.
And that is a very alpha, like if you watch like the older show, like Mighty Morphin, Alpha 5 would pick up, like, would say stuff that was like slang at the time.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, no, that tracks. But also, thank God that it was not Alpha 1.
Oh, yeah.
Also, it was not Alpha 1 that got taken over by Rita.
Oh, God. If Alpha 1 was taken over by the bad energy of Rita Repulsa, we'd all be dead by now.
It's like, the Killbot Alpha.
I mean, I kind of love the Killbot Alpha, but also,
I do, too. But also, fuck the Killbot Alpha.
Exactly, exactly.
HK-47 Alpha.
The Alpha that goes, hey, sexy mama, want to kill all the humans.
Come on, you just get out of my way, you disgusting meatbag. Oh, my goodness.
But, so Alpha here is not that different from most other alphas we've encountered. He's an alpha, and he's a sweetie.
Yeah.
I did love the delivery of, oh, my poor predecessor.
Yeah. And we also have Aisha and Adam. They fly in to help. We've kind of mentioned this. They are a part of Space Patrol Alpha.
Yes.
And so it looks like... they're finally acknowledging we got to do something about Space Patrol Delta. It's like, is it a... I didn't find anything if it was, like, a beginning part of Space Patrol Alpha or if they mentioned something about Space Patrol Delta. But anyway, we're finally with Space Patrol, and they're helping fight the Tribune Empire at the moment, and they were being delayed. But, you know, Billy did make, you know... it was this whole thing of, like, thanks, Billy, for the cloaking technology.
Yeah.
Which then came in later. I guess they're not like the Federation in which, like, hey, you can't have cloaking technology. What are we, the Romulans? Fuck off.
Yeah, exactly.
Cloaking technology is forbidden. Also, I think when they did attempt cloaking technology, it caused a ship to phase into a meteor or something. Anyway, that's a lot to unload. I've watched a lot of Trek. Leave me alone. But yeah, they eventually are able to show up. Because even with light speed travel and everything, you know, they were, like, a couple hours out. And right. It's mainly there to, like, make to de-action figure everyone.
Oh, that's my favorite stupid detail in the entire episode was the fucking... We'll talk about that, because it's so funny.
It's so funny. But, you know, you got to, like, catch up and see, like, Adam and Aisha, and they're doing their own thing, and it was just nice to see them. And, it's Johnny on Bosch. He took time away from voicing Vash the Stampede to be in this.
Yeah.
I don't know if that actually lined up together, but I'm glad he's back as Vash the Stampede.
Yeah, same here. But yeah, I mean, obviously, like, Adam and Aisha don't really get as much screen time, but it is, again, nice to see them, especially because, like, you know, they were Mighty Morphin Rangers too, so, like...
Yeah.
Because I think people forget that, or they get, like, really upset about kind of Adam and Aisha's existence.
It seems like most people forget that they were part of the Mighty Morphin team, but they remember them, like, in Zeo.
Yeah.
And stuff. It's like they more recognize the Zeo and Turbo stuff with Adam, Rocky, and Aisha, but not so much like they were Mighty Morphin Rangers and hilariously enough longer tenure Mighty Morphin Rangers than the original five. So
yeah, which that's why I really did like that Aisha at the end did have that moment with Min where she said, "I'm glad that the Sabretooth powers are in good hands."
Yeah. So I really did enjoy it. And even then, like, Aisha wasn't in Zeo. Like,
that was, yeah.
Karen Ashley was like, the negotiations broke down. I'm sorry, bye. Yeah, so, but, you know, Aisha's still a big part of things. So, yeah, I'm glad of that. And, so I guess we move on to villains. We've talked a lot about Robo Rita. Let's just discuss Robo Rita.
Yeah, so Robo Rita, as we mentioned, she was kind of the remaining evil energy of Rita Repulsa that came out of the Z-Wave. Mm-hmm. And then when Billy and Alpha 8 thought they had nabbed Zordon out of the tube and found his energy, it was actually the evil essence of Robo Rita.
Mm-hmm.
And she took over Alpha 8's body and... transmogrified him into Robo Rita. We don't know Morphin Grid shit. I don't know exactly how that works.
Yeah, just her evilness was just such enough, and she starts fucking shit up, including killing Trini.
Yeah, so, she's evil as shit, as we put it.
Yeah, I think it's because she is literally, because there was, you know, in order to purify Rita, oh my god, I just remembered my thing about whatever his name was from in space, because he had good in him, but no, he's too monster like. It was Ecliptor. Yeah, you purified Rita, but not Ecliptor. Regardless, there was, you know, because there was that good in Rita could get purified. So I'm wondering if we're just seeing that pure distilled evil of Rita and Robo Rita. Like, this is just flat out all that evil.
Yeah, so, this is the Rita that would have become Mistress Vile.
Yeah, like, you know, this Rita has turned up to 11.
Yeah. So, and like, but her whole plan is that she's going to use the Ranger's powers that she manages to, like, action figure and kidnap to go back in time and help her younger self conquer the Earth. So, kind of just like Kingdom Hearts, I guess.
Yeah, I was just like, isn't this a Kingdom Hearts plot point?
Yeah, because I'm vaguely recalling it from Brian David Gilbert's episode of, like, Unraveled, where he talked about the plot of Kingdom Hearts.
Oh my god. Oh, man. Bless any of you who are into Kingdom Hearts. It's a lot.
Yeah, but, I mean, she's not trying to nort anybody or get into real there's some real unethical science happening here. Yeah, once you got that boy under your control, time to get into some real unethical science!
She almost did, in fact, buy a gun, but the idea was to capture Rangers, mainly, I think, using, like, Snizzard, and we'll get into Minotaur and Snizzard in a bit, but essentially, like, locate the Rangers who are more through Minotaur, and then use Snizzard's power to grab them and zap their energy and turn them into lightning figures.
Just, like, yeah. The lightning figures thing is so funny.
But, yeah, she really did almost, in fact, buy a gun and destroy everything. One of the things we'd also like to note, this was, of course, before their big finale, is she does get stabbed through the back with Billy's trident, and we're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, like, we're Yeah, we'll get into this a little bit more, but I was just like, good lord. Like, yeah. You can do that, Power Rangers?
Like, damn. Okay. And she almost succeeded with her plan. She even got to see herself in the past. Mm-hmm. But Kat puts an arrow through the machine, and we're pretty sure Ming delivered the final blow. Regardless, Rita was, she was destroyed, and her plan didn't come to fruition.
Yeah, and then as we, the other ones here, instead of bringing back like Goldar or Finster or anything that, we have Robo Snizzard and Robo Minotaur. Which they were helping with Rita's plan, and Snizzard had the ability to shrink and wrap the Rangers up in like these little snakes so they could be drained of their energy.
And Robo Minotaur was able to locate it only if you were morphed, and they figured it out real quickly. Mm-hmm. Basically, like, if you need to do something, you can't be morphed.
Right.
Minotaur gets destroyed in like Bandora's palace. It's a neat fight. And then Snizzard gets blown up in the Megazord fight. That's graphics were like the movie. It really felt like the movie fight, with the exception of the groin kick.
Yeah, I'm like, if they really truly wanted to reference and like play tribute to the fucking movie, like Min would have hit a button that would have just hit Snizzard in the groin, and it would just send him spinning off into space.
And hitting a, like, something to explode him.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, but instead we got, you know, Zords, that a Zord fight that looked like it was, you know, animated with the budget that they had or something.
Yeah, it looked real bad, but I kind of loved it.
Yeah, and great in a Power Rangers way.
Yeah.
Also, I guess before we move on to honorable mentions, Barbara Goodson still trekking on. God bless her.
Oh, yeah, isn't it that, like, I think it was Joe Hunter who posted, bless, like, Barbara Goodson in her larynx.
Yeah, like, she knocked it out of the park. Bless her.
Yeah.
So now we're on our honorable mentions, which is Merrick. He still hasn't scored.
Yeah, so, like, one of the lightning figures that they had was Merrick. So it's just, like, so Merrick was the only of the Wild Force Rangers that got, like, zapped.
Here lies Merrick. He still hasn't scored.
I have faith in him. He's going to score one day.
He's going to do it. He's going to be like Beavis. He's going to score one day. The Grid Battle Force Rangers, they were part of the ones caught up with everything.
Yeah, it's like nearly all of the Grid Battle Force Rangers got zapped besides, like, and this, obviously this is nothing you see on screen. You just see all these little action figures, so you can kind of guess what happened. But yeah, nearly all of the Grid Battle Force Rangers get, like, zapped by Robo Rita's forces, except for, like, Zoe and Steel.
So we just guessed that Zoe held down the fort, and Steel, well, bless his stupid heart.
Yeah, he's not going to be doing much.
Yeah.
So you also saw, like, just a note to you, you also see, like, the Phantom Ranger, a bunch of the Lost Galaxy Rangers, Carlos, Tanya, and... Yeah, but, like, it's not as fun to guess what would have happened at Grid Battle Force or Terra... It's more fun to guess what happened at Grid Battle Force than it is Terra Venture. I'm sorry.
Yeah, also, I just remembered... Well, in Terra Venture, it just sounds like the lesbians were getting shit done and, then and escaped. Well, the dumb gay man got captured.
Yeah.
They were too beautiful, too muscular, and too gay, and they got captured. So lesbians are running that shit. And
But
I just remember Kurt made the joke of Rita just going, "Blue Centurion," and throwing him away.
Like, oh, Graham, oh, Blue Centurion.
Yeah.
Same energy as, oh, Grammy.
Yeah, and then we were like, yeah, the gay couple. Shout out to the gay couple that Ming saved. But especially George.
Yeah. So very exciting that, like, our friend and George got a character named after him in Power Rangers.
He's even wearing a pink shirt. I'm like, God fucking bless.
We love to see it.
Yeah, we love to see it. Bulk and Skull, because they showed up in a billboard and they have food money now. Or they have a food company now, and we make the joke it's probably from that YouTube money, because we just have the joke that they are the Trixie and Katya of Power Rangers. They have their own money.
And why does that just have a feeling that Skull, not Skull, Spike is, like, running something at that business he should not be running?
Oh, probably. Poor buddy. I agree with somebody of there should be also a Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead version of this special, but it focuses on
like what's going on at that point.
Yeah.
And then the last one we wanted to note is, even though we have not gotten to it yet, but we will in a couple of months, is Annie from Buzz Blast, like, is also in it. Yeah. So it does tie back to Dino Fury as well.
Yeah. We're going to tie shit in now is what the new team is doing here, instead of being like, we're just going to put out a season. Continuity, exactly. What the fuck's that? We'll get to that when there's like a special or something. All right. So odds and ends. We talked a bit about the Found Family, but I really did like that this really cemented how much Rangers are Found Family. Sure. It's to the point where, you know, they took up, you know, helping raising a kid. So it's, and, you know, Ming was already very clearly knew the Rangers. You know, it's very obvious that she knew them and was around them, and the Rangers knew her. So it's like, oh, no, this is definitely blessed when they always bring up the family situation. Like when they bring back Dino Charge people, and you can clearly tell, like, oh, yeah, they do a bit of time. Like, after getting those, you know, dimension hoppers, they probably do a bit of time traveling to go keep up with each other.
Yeah, because, like, you know, clearly, like, Coda, like, the whole bit with Coda and the caveman Christmas thing.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so I feel like, you know, obviously with, you know, the Rangers only being, like, you know, just a dimension hop away, it kind of just makes stuff like that a little easier.
Yeah, so I did like that, you know, we're cementing that now everyone still cares about each other and everything, and I wanted to cry. But as I think it was writer Trace Dean said, a writer journalist Trace Dean said on a tweet of Power Rangers should look like it's on a budget of $17 American.
Yeah, this special was definitely on a budget of $17 American, and I think it just added to the charm.
It really just added. It's like, yeah, this is Power Rangers. If they went all budget, high end, I would have been like, fuck you. Power Rangers shouldn't look polished. Power Rangers should be like, yeah, so our captured Rangers are just the lightning figures we have out now. I think it was like, you are Kurt that caught that. It's like, aren't these the lightning
figures? Yeah, I mean, because I own that lightning figure of Merrick.
Yeah, I do too. We love our dumb wolf boy who doesn't
just score. Like, wait a tick.
And then and then when you said that and they panned over to the Grid Battle Force, I'm like, oh yeah, I own Nate.
Yeah, so it's just like, I don't, the only Grid Battle Force figure I have is Zoe, but still, like.
I also have Zoe, so I got the cool couple. but yeah, it's like, and Zoe was, I think, just released, before the specials, or after the special, so it's like. So because of that, that means TJ didn't get captured.
Yeah, TJ's still out there holding it down.
Yeah. So, you know. But yeah, we were just like popping for the lightning figure thing.
It's so silly, but it worked perfectly.
Yeah, it's like everything, because some people were complaining, everything looks cheap and like good.
Like, I don't come here because like it looks good. I come here because it's kind of dumb.
Yeah, like, I don't want high-end shit here, and also it's just funny to watch, like, something as low, like that's charm really is being low-budget, like Power Rangers being filmed in, like, HD video or something. It's just, like, yes, we can see all the flaws now. Good, good, good.
as we noted with this before, it's like, this is kind of violent.
Yeah, we were, I think it was you when we were writing the notes that said, like, if this was, like, our Marvel TV show or something, we would pass it by. But because it's Power Rangers and we're used to a certain level of violence in Power Rangers, that, like, seeing Trini explode, you know, or seeing Robo Rita get stabbed through the heart, or when the Minotaur blew up, the world is like, damn!
Yeah, I was just, like, I was just kind of shocked by it, because, like, and, like, the way the putties, like, the putties literally just kind of like fall apart. And like Min hits one with the rad bug.
Yeah, and it goes, you know, it turns it, it's, you know, it was, it's like that guy in RoboCop.
Yeah, so like.
He just gets hit by a car and goes.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen when you hit a creature that's literally made of clay, like at full speed.
Yeah, but it's still like something we're not used to in Power Rangers. Like when the putties broke apart in season two. It was a very cheesy stop. Like, they definitely did, like, a stop motion or, like, a stop edit. There was a lot of compositing. They obviously had a putty frozen in place, and then they, like, took apart the video. You know, so it's this very cheesy, dumb effect. Whereas, like, this is like, oh, geez. Visceral without the guts.
It's, for Power Rangers. Yeah, so that's what I said. For Power Rangers, it's weirdly violent.
Yeah, this is the violence parents actually imagined Power Rangers.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's what you said. Yeah,
you know, because that's allegedly why my mom didn't, like, let me watch it. Allegedly.
Allegedly. There's also, I found it dumb and I didn't want you to watch it. Yeah, we were just kind of shocked at the level of violence. It's not that we haven't seen that level of violence or, like, watch things that have higher levels of violence. Like, I do love Paul Verhoeven. I know I just referenced RoboCop.
Yeah.
And he doesn't shy from gore.
Yeah, no. And for this particular base level that we are working at with Power Rangers, it is shockingly violent. Somewhat below the typical level of violence you'd see in, like, a Marvel movie or a Marvel TV show.
Yeah. I don't think that's bad either. It's just that is a little bit of a system shock. Also a system shock. Them actually mentioning death.
They say death and kill in this multiple times. Death, die, kill. Death, die, kill. It's like, when did we start saying this on Power Rangers instead of destroy?
Yeah, like Power Rangers barely ever uses the word death and die and kill. And it's like, this is the closest Rita gets to say fuck. Yeah, so.
Like, no, that would have been the true, like, I feel like you could allow Rita one fuck before it goes too hard into Edgeworth territory, you know?
Yeah, Rita's allowed, fuck you guys or something.
One fuck, that's all I need. I just need one fuck from Barbara Goodson.
This is Barbara Goodson.
Yeah, just cameo. So I can ask her to say fuck as Rita Repulsa.
We just want you to say fuck as Rita Repulsa so we can have it.
So I'll let you take this because you actually watched this movie.
But I was gonna say it was very funny to juxtapose the nods in this, because they were definitely fan nods that I definitely appreciated and I popped for, versus the fan nods in Clerks 3, which I just rolled my eyes and went, that's fucking corny.
Yeah, you were telling me about that and I'm just like, this movie sounds miserable.
I wasn't even having the miserable time Kurt was. I was just mostly like, damn, you took out the gay panic and accidentally made your gayest movie since Chasing Amy.
Whoops.
That is my opinion on Clerks 3. And I was also fairly neutral on it. But I was just kind of like, I was like, every time a nod would come up in Clerks 3, I would be like, that's fucking corny.
Yeah, boo. I feel like this could have easily skated into the territory of corny in a bad way, but I like the fact that they, like, managed to kind of pull the reins in a little bit.
They pulled the reins, and also it's like, you know, it's something that's supposed to spark memories from your childhood, so I'll allow it. Instead of sparking memories when you're a teenager and you hated the world and you found a movie about Gen Xers and you're like, yeah, I vibe with this. You know, I don't want to be reminded of I'm a teenager. Teenagers them suck. But also one of those nods was the Bandora references, which
love. So the Bandora protocol, there's like on the screen, you can see all of the places that they were like summoning the Rangers from, or at least like, hey, so we need to get our shit together because Rita's out there being evil. So they had Turtle Cove. Terra Venture, Osaka. It looks like, obviously, you know, we see Rangers from Coral Harbor, Reefside. The Astro Mega Ship was also listed. it does sound like this is specifically calling in all of like the Power Rangers that are ready and available, no matter where they're located.
And one of them had to be Merrick because he wasn't scoring. Meanwhile, Taylor was probably knee deep in pussy.
Always. So. Also, just for cheesy effects, I love how stupid the Bandora Palace looks in this.
And the, like, you know, its name and everything. I'm like, yes! Ah.
So, in this particular special, I mean, I'll let you bring this up because you wanted to talk about it. But I do, I also did like the fact that they decided to use archival footage of the other Rangers instead of just like trying to find sound-alikes.
It was kind of tear-jerky to hear not only Twee but JDF through that, and they managed to find stuff that would, you know, fit the situation. I mean, with Tommy, it's pretty easy. He's fighting, so he's doing the Zigias. But you actually had to do some dialogue with Trini, and they managed to find some of like the stuff when she's yelling for Billy or do you need help, and incorporate that into like a dub over, and instead of, like you said, finding sound alikes, or, you know, or even more awful, doing an AI.
Like, I definitely prefer that they just go back through the archival footage and do some clever editing instead of trying to do like ghoul shit with Twee and JDF.
Yeah, because I was fully expecting them to get sound alikes. And, you know, same thing with, like, Amy Jo. Like, they got, they got some of the old, like, footage from her and everything. But I was just fully expecting, like, sound alikes and shit like they did when Peace Conference happened. They just hired sound alikes to dub over people. And it's like, no, they actually were like, let's dive into the archival. Let's make sure that these people actually have their voices. And the stuff, definitely with Twee really got me. Because I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing I want to talk about, and this is so bittersweet to talk about because I don't think we would have predicted any of this, especially the way JDF talked about it, was I was glad he did turn this down, and he turned this down because it sounds like he was focusing a little way more from Power Rangers. And I think a lot of that was just like, I want to do something else with Tommy. And I think he also just felt like it was time to move on. It's very obvious to me that he felt a lot the way Carrie Fisher would describe how she was with Princess Leia later. Like, I am that gatekeeper of Tommy. I am that person to a lot of kids, and I will always, you know, be there for fans. But it definitely sounded like JDF wanted to move on with his life. And I don't blame him. And so we ended up, because of that, we got to focus on other people.
Yeah.
Because Power Rangers, if there's one thing I can definitely say against it as a franchise, of when it does these anniversary specials, it, you know, if Tommy's involved, fuck everyone else.
Yeah, like, that was it was so weird to talk about Dimensions in Danger, like, so quickly after JDF died, but it definitely had that symptom of, oh well, we got JDF, so we're just gonna be like, it's just all about Tommy and how cool Tommy is. And it's like, this is the 25th anniversary of Power Rangers. You've pulled in all of these other Rangers, but, you know, fuck them.
Yeah, fuck them, fuck their time. We're just gonna make it about Tommy. And that is something, and I somewhat get it. Tommy was so popular. Like, I know I read about Tommy, but guess who one of my favorite Power Rangers was as a kid? It was fucking Tommy, okay? Like, almost everyone loved Tommy. And he was so loved that they were originally just going to write him off. Like, no, they bought him back. So I somewhat get it, but also it's like, he's not the end all be all of the Mighty Morphin team. I want to find out what other people are doing.
Yeah, and like, I want to know what's going on with Billy. I want to know what's going on with Zach. Yeah. So it was nice that out of necessity, because JDF turned it down, that they were able to actually focus on other Rangers and let other Rangers have the spotlight. Getting to see, like, Billy and Zach again is so great. And I'm not saying this is what would have happened if JDF was in this, but, like, I just have that worry. They would have just, like, okay, well, you know, Tommy was the most popular Ranger, so he's going to be kind of the one who, like, stepped up to help take care of Min or give Min the big, like, mentor talk.
It's like, or just be the entire focus right. of this episode. Because it just sometimes feels like the protocol up until that point was, you know, if they had an anniversary thing and Tommy was involved, it was, when Tommy isn't around, the other character should be asking, where is Tommy? It's just tragic what happened. But in some ways, like, I'm glad in a lot of ways JDF was ready to move on and was like, hey, I want to move on with my life. I want to do something else that I think is more of what I would want to do with, like, a Tommy-like character and everything. So, you know, him closing that chapter in his life and moving on ended up, I think, strengthening the series for a little bit better. And I just wish he was around.
Yeah, and I think it is comforting in a way, knowing that while JDF has moved, like, has passed on from this world, that Tommy is still out there in the Power Rangers universe.
Yeah. You know, Tommy's still a big part of that legacy.
You know, whether it is that, you know, he is canonically alive, just, you know, he got kidnapped this one time, or, you know, we'll take as far back as freaking Soul of the Dragon. That he actually gets to, like, in that, he actually got to retire from being a Power Ranger because his power coins burned out. So I think that it is nice to know that, like, Tommy is still out there in a way. I'm just glad that this special was not just all about how cool Tommy is for the 5 millionth time.
Yeah, that was kind of the big detriment to that 25th anniversary special, was it just focused all on how cool Tommy is.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't want to focus on that. I guess, you know, this is going to a little bit go into the verdict and everything, but it's like, it felt like with the anniversary stuff in the past, it's like, I get it with, like, the 10th anniversary with Forever Red. Mm-hmm. Where, like, you only could pull in so many people, like, you were on a budget freeze technically. Yeah, you could only pull in the Red Rangers, and it was a little fun,
right?
And once a Ranger always upset me, because it's like, you got all these Rangers back, great, I want to learn more about them. No, let's focus on the Operation Overdrive team feeling sad.
Yeah, because it's like, especially because Adam's there. Like, let's talk about Adam. What's going on with his life?
Yeah, it's like, I want to find out what happened with everyone else's life. Why are we focusing on these sad fucks?
Yeah.
And, you know, it didn't have that balance there. And then with, like, Dimensions in Changer, the 20th anniversary season. My pause exactly. They didn't do anything with that. And then with the 25th one, it just felt like this Tommy just took over the entire thing.
Yeah. So, like, it was just nice to get an anniversary special that actually kind of felt like we're going to, like, kind of check in with the characters and, like, do something interesting for once.
Yeah. Instead of, you know, fuck these characters, or fuck everyone but Tommy, or, yeah, you know, we should be doing an anniversary thing here, but we're fucking lazy.
Yeah.
We don't care what the rest of the creative team is trying to pull here. We're just going to be lazy producers.
Yeah.
So, I guess that goes into our verdict, and I would say we definitely love this.
100%.
Yeah. I'm going to say I was very skeptical going into this because, you know, like I mentioned, anniversary specials in the past have always been super lackluster with Power Rangers, and I'm always just, like, hesitant about them because of it. And my only favorite prior to this really was Forever Red, because you got a little bit of the catch-up, but it was mostly, like, a fun, dumb romp. But yeah, they really knocked it out of the park in this one. You know, I got to catch up with the old Rangers and see what they're actually up to. They did enough of the current ongoing continuity to kind of acknowledge this, to kind of acknowledge what's going on and everything. But also, it was not too overwhelming for just people who were into Mighty Morphin just trying to catch up. I also like that it was more centered around, like, adults, ergo, yeah, in that PG-13 way, and tackled like heavier subjects that, you know, something as opposed to something aimed for a 5-year old, because they're like, yeah, we are going to focus on our adult audience. So like I said, if you're casual or a super fan, I really think you should check it out. It's fucking beautiful. Only the pandemic nerdlings would have a problem with the special, and it seems like they are, and fuck them.
Yeah, I definitely enjoyed this more than I thought I would, especially given Power Rangers' track record with anniversary specials, as we previously mentioned. It managed to strike the right balance of cheesy and heartfelt while refusing to talk down to its audience. This was definitely a special made for the adult fans in mind, but it doesn't mean that it lost the heart of Power Rangers at all. It also managed to strike a perfect balance of referencing 30 years of continuity while still making something that maybe people who only saw Mighty Morphin or haven't watched Mighty Morphin since they were younger would enjoy. I honestly hope we'll see more takes like this in the future.
All right, and that's it for this month's episode. We would like to thank Kate Nix for a choral theme song. Her site, katenix.com, is currently under construction. However, you can, her link tree under I Am Kate Nix links you to her Bandcamp and streaming site, katenix.tv. She does a bi-monthly show, The Lounge, Tuesdays at 7 p.m. If you're wondering if it's an on month, you can check out her show's Instagram, It's The Lounge. You can watch older episodes on her YouTube channel, Kate Nix, and she also has personal accounts under Zinak, which is her name spelled backwards, on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. She just wants some flair in Winslow, the big piano-playing cat. I also like to thank Joe Hunter for our artwork. Joe is a comic book artist who has done backups for Radiant Black, A Story in Headlock Comics, Tales from the Road, and is currently working on Peace Heart Strikers with co-creator and writer Lam Pitts. He also was recently featured in the anthology Tales of the Pandemic. You can support him on Patreon at joe_hunter and threadless at joehunter.threadless.com. You can find him on Twitter as joe_hunter and Instagram as joebloodyhunter. We also would like to thank Kurt Yoder for the editing. You can find him at Great SG Creations on Etsy, as well as Square and Great SG Pixels on Twitter, where he sells Perler art. He also does stickers as well. Other things hopefully coming up in the future. And you can also just follow him on the Great SG. We also like to thank our $5 patrons. Griffman, thank you so much for your support. If you'd like to support us on Patreon, you can do so at patreon.com/rangersplain. Where we have multiple tiers, including early release episodes and also a monthly streaming that happens on every third Monday. Our wrestler of the podcast is none other than one of our favorite veterans of the scene, Frankie Kazarian, which incidentally, we're coming up on his 25th year in professional wrestling as in May. His first match was like 25 years ago. So you can follow him on Impact Wrestling, along with Ashley's favorite, Alex Shelley. And you can also follow him on Twitter and Instagram at Frankie Kazarian. And Ashley, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram, as always, at Miss Kitty F. I am trying to use Instagram a little bit more. It's hit or miss.
Same.
Yeah. But you can also find on both of those accounts, you can find my Linktree account, which takes you to my itch.io store, as well as my Square store, where you can purchase zines, masks, beanies, whatever else I happen to have in stock there as well.
Hey, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram and Tumblr as well under Velociriker. Instagram, I am on private, so you are going to have to friend request me on that. On all those, you can find a bio link to where my store is, Code of Magical Crafts, and where I sell mostly candles and soaps, but other things in the future. I know I've planned some bath bombs and some zines, and you can mostly find that on Etsy. You can also find our podcast on Twitter and Instagram under Rangersplain. We're trying to do a little bit more on Instagram, but Ashley's normally dulling out the funny on Twitter if you want to follow us there. You can also, again, subscribe to our Patreon. And, of course, our website is on WordPress at rangersplain.wordpress.com, where all of our show notes are located. And anywhere you find us where podcasts are, you know, listened to or our RSV feed goes out to, there is a way to rate our podcast. Go ahead, give us a like, tell us what you like, help us boost in the algorithm. All right, that's it for this month's episode. Next month, we are going back to the comic book world and taking on Shattered Grid. As always, stay safe out there. May the power protect you. Go.